Brethren, we look into this year tea is the dawn of a new beginning. As you are here today, a new beginning has started in your life already in the name of Jesus. Brethren, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Everlasting Father, we want to thank you. We bless and worship your holy name because you are a great God. Lord, we thank you. You have been good unto us. You have kept us from the beginning of this year to see the end of the year. Father, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we have come to this conference, we want you, Lord, to do a new thing, mightier things. Things that will make people to say, wow, it's unto us. I say, oh God, I glorify your holy name because of this brother, because of this sister. Lord, I pray you do that in our life in the name of Jesus. As many that have come, oh Lord, with their empty hearts, oh Lord, before they leave here on Tuesday, Lord, they shall all be filled with wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray you are God of revival. Lord, we need your revival. We need transformation. Amen. We need multiplication. Amen. Lord, I pray you will do it for us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, as we look into the pages of scripture this morning, we pray that holy angel will speak unto us and will fill our heart with joy. Amen. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Brethren, I say once again, congratulations that you are here. You are part of this great conference this year in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This morning, briefly, we look into the message we have before us, and that message is talking about repentance, redemption, and restitution. Repentance, redemption, and restitution. So we want to look from the scripture. What Bible is saying concerning redemption? What Bible is saying concerning repentance? What Bible is saying concerning restitution? Are they important? If they are important, why do we need to know to do all this? This we are going to look together and study together. And let us look into the Bible. Come with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to read there from verse 1 to 10. Matthew 3. Verse 1 to 10. Open your Bible. Matthew 3, from verse 1 to 10. I read. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a lantern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan. Verse 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, and who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruit meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. So, we see from this passage we have read, John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ, preaching, telling people about the word of God. And we know the Sadducee and Pharisee, we know the work of their hand, they are hypocrites, and they are the one that also, causing series of things among the people. And now when they hear this preaching of John, they run unto him. John told them, who has asked you to come? Generation of Piper, to see the extent, the cruelty in their lives, to see how wicked, these people were. That is the Pharisees and Sadducees. For John to say, oh, generation of viper, and we all know what viper means, very dangerous snake, that if viper bites somebody, if guy is not taking, the person may die. So you see how wicked these people were. So he told them, so brethren, we might say, I may not be wicked as that, but we are telling lies sometimes. We are doing something that God wasn't happy with. We are doing series of things that make God to be angry every day. Because Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day in Psalm. So that is it. That is because of that. That is why repentance is very important. Why do we need to repent? Why do we? Because here John told them, say, bring forth the fruit meat for repentance. The meat meat for repentance. That is a change of heart, a change of attitude. Confess your sin. Confess all the things that you have done wrong. And leave. So he told them that they should repent because their life is full of wickedness. Let us also read from Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 to see the life of sinner. It's not that, sin binds people, it ties you down. You cannot, it's difficult for you to free yourself without the blood of Jesus. Nobody can free himself or herself. You cannot free yourself from it because it entangles you, it enslaves you. That's the reason why we need to set ourselves loose from sin. We need to get ourselves free from sin. And praise the Lord, God has made this thing ready, easy for us. He died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, precious blood for us. We just go to Calvary and make confession of our sin and cry unto him, Father, forgive me. I've done this, I've done that. Forgive me. Take away my sin. Take away my reproach. And God Almighty will take all those things away from your life. That is what we need to do. But we want to see the state of sinner now. Sinner, somebody that are living in sin, dying with sin. Dying with sin just all the time. So we see Romans chapter 7. To see Romans chapter 7. Because of a time, I will read, let's read from, I will jump from verse 15 to 24. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You see, that is the state of a sinner. What is right, what is good, he cannot do it. Because the sin in him will not allow him to do it. Will not allow her to do it. It is what he hates to do. What he hates that he's supposed not to do, that is what he loves to do. You see? It is the sin, the lie that you're supposed not to tell. That is what, many people, they know how to use lie to, one lie to cover another lie. Before you say, it's another lie. Before you say, lie is another lie. It's very close to your mouth. That is the state of sinner. That is the state of sinner. So, and we see, I continue in verse 16. If then I do that which I will not, I consent unto the law that it is good. 17. Now, when it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You see, it is sin that dwelleth in their heart that make them to do contrary to the will of God. And 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That is the state of a sinner. 19, for the good that I would do not, but the evil which I will not, that I do. 20, now if I do that I will not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warning against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You see the state of sinner. The thing that is supposed not to do, that is what is willing. That is where the leg will be pushing him or her to go. Go and do it. So contrary to the will of God, that is the state of a sinner. And see here, it's the old wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this state of state I am? Thank God that you are here. Maybe you are in that situation. You have been thinking, this thing, I don't want to do it. You have made confession that I will not do this thing again. I will not go this way again. But you still find yourself doing it. But thank God that you are here this morning. God Almighty, who died on the cross, is here with us, and we cleanse your heart and we make you free from that sin today in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, brethren, what should we repent from? It is good for us to really know why do we need repentance, and what are those things that we need to repent from? That I will look. Why do we need to repent? Why? Let us open to John chapter 8, verse 34 to 36. John 8, Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8. I read there from 34 to 36. 34 to 36. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What does that mean? It means that sin enslaves you to devil. Sin enslaves the sinner to devil. Sin enslaves the sinner to the flesh. As we have read in Romans, no, things that you're supposed not to do, that is what you want to do. That is because of sin that dwelleth in that individual. So that is what sin does. It enslaves you. Then you need to set yourself loose. You need to set yourself free. And Bible is telling us in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Which means our Lord Jesus Christ is here to set you free. If you are in that state today, God will set you free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I read also from Isaiah 59 verse 2. Isaiah 59 verse 2. Book of Isaiah 59 verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. You see? Sin bring what? Separation between you and God. You know, it's like demarcation. When you are praying, you are crying to God, God, see me, this is my problem. God will not hear. God will not hear because your life or the life of that individual is soiled with sin. The eyes of the Lord cannot behold iniquity. God is pure. God is holy. Cannot behold iniquity unless you confess your sin, unless you set yourself free, unless you clear all the dirtiness in your heart. That is when God can hear you. That is when you can pray and God will hear from heaven. That is when you pray that God will send the angel to come around and set you free. Brethren, God is talking to you this morning that all the thing that is attached to sin, you must set yourself free. You must separate yourself. I read Romans chapter 5. I read verse 12. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, sin bring what? Death. Eternal death. Because if that person die in the state of sin, he will never reign eternally with the Lord. He bring death. And even spiritual death here on earth, and after death, no life with Christ. It's for such people. That is, these are some of the reasons. Also, sin bring condemnation because of the time we'll not be able to go into all those things. So it brings separation, it brings anger. If you look into Psalm 7, verse 11, we are not reading that. God is angry with the wicked. You know, that is sin. So that reason why we must repent. But I must tell you, sin stings. You know what is bee? That hovering, when bees sting you, it's very painful. That is what sin does. You might not know, though it's very, devil is very cunning, and they make him do series of things, but later on it's very stinking, stink. So it brings death. That is the reason why we must repent. And what is sin? Sin is a total sum of all unrighteousness. You must know that. Sin, total sum of all unrighteousness. Anything that is unrighteous. Anything that you cannot tell your fellow brother and sister to hear about. That is sin. That is sin. We see later, I will break it down further. So briefly, I will look this topic under three subheadings. The first one, repentance. A requirement for salvation. Repentance, a requirement for salvation. And number two, restitution, a requirement for obedient servants or believer. So restitution, a requirement for obedient believers. And lastly, redemption, a key to spiritual benefit. A key to spiritual benefit. Through redemption, we have a lot of benefits which we see afterward. Number one, repentance, a requirement for salvation. Let us open Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. I think we all know that verse. It's a common verse. Let us read it together. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Bible says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." And we are all here who want to prosper. That is why we come to the presence of God. So, what does that mean? That you should not cover your sin. You should repent. You should confess your sin. So, before that, so that you can prosper. Then, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And I pray that God's mercy will be upon you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse 7. I read, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You see, what does that mean? Every person that is living in sin should come unto the Lord and repent, confess, and God has told us in this scripture, he said, he will pardon, he will forgive. Just come unto him. Lord, I'm sorry. You know, that's why I like David. You know, David, when he sinned, he realized himself, his state. He went before the Lord and he cried unto him. And God pardoned him. God have mercy. And you are not exception. God is here to pardon you. If you go to him in prayer, if you confess your sin unto him, if you come unto him with open mind, he will forgive you. And the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, I read 21 to 23. Ezekiel 18, 21 to 23. But if the wicked will turn from all the sin that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. 22. All his transgression that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. 23. Have had any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, said the Lord God, and not that he should return from his way and live. You see, that is what God is telling sinner, that he should repent from his sin, that so that he will not die. Because God is not happy in the death of any sinner. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to, you know, to have eternal life. He wants all to reign with him. He wants all to enjoy with him. So God is not interested in the death of anyone. So that is the reason why you should come with a repentant heart. If your conscience is telling you, you have done this thing, you know, somebody might say, no, I mean, I don't fornicate, I don't engage in stealing, but you are the one who keep malice. Some people who keep malice, I say, even if Christ come today, I will not forgive that brother. I will not forgive that sister. And you are telling, you are praying to God, and you are saying you are coming to church. Brethren, no, you are deceiving yourself. So you are a sinner. You have to repent of it. Eh? Some people, no, some people lie. Some people, they defraud other people. Some people, they rob Peter to pay Paul. That is where they get their degree. Brethren, this is all sin. Some people, I mean, series of things like that we do. They tell series of things. Brethren, you need to repent of them before you can receive this freedom from sin. But what are those things that we need to repent of? Galatians chapter 5. Let's see some example. Galatians chapter 5. So that we know what we need to repent of. Some of them, not all, but we see some of them here. Galatians chapter 5. I read from verse 19 to 21. Let's open to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the work of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, that is one; fornication, that is another one; uncleanness, that is another one; lasciviousness, that is idolatry; witchcraft, hatred; variance, emulations; wrath, simple angry. You just get angry at them at will. Just little things, you get fly up. Oh, you shouldn't be like that as a believer. If you are doing like, how will you witness to others? How will you bring others to Christ? If somebody just mistakenly matter on your toe, you get fly up just like that. Then who want to be like you? If you preach to me, say, I will not even listen to you. Yes, because your life doesn't portray what you profess to be. So that is the reason why we must not allow all these things to be seen in our life. Strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You know, we still go on and on. Such like. Because of that, we will not be able to go and be opening scripture and see all those things. But I believe we will be hearing similar messages before we we conclude this conference. So you see, such things, we need to repent from all those things. If all these things are seen in your life, you need to repent and get yourself free. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts 2. Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 28. Book of Acts, 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, we need to repent so that we see remission of our sin. That remission is, that is forgiveness of our sin. You know, that we get ourselves separated from sin. So we see repentance is a complete turning away from all sin and is deceitful pleasure. That is what repentance means. When we turn away completely from sinful deceit and its pleasure. So that is repentance. It's required from the sinner before he can truly and effectively believe in Jesus with saving faith. So this is God's requirement. This is what God demands from any individual, any sinner. So, and we must come unto him. If we have allowed sin to reign in our heart, we should go before the Lord. I'm not saying you should come and confess your sin to me, but confess to God Almighty, who sees what no man can see, who hear what no man, other person can hear, who say what no man can say. Brethren, God is calling you, to come unto him. So realization of one's sinful state and the eternal consequence of a life of sin lead to confession and repentance, which marks the point of a conversion in the life of a sinner. This produces a change of mind and attitude with resolute decision to follow the Lord. You see, when you have repented from your sin, then there must be a fruit. There must be a change of attitude. Maybe you are before used to tell lies, but you can now see, wow, there is a change, a great change in the life of this individual. All the bad things you used to do before, you do them no more. That shows that a great change has happened. People can see it. Everybody can see it, can testify it. No, I know this brother, I know this sister. A complete change, a complete turnaround has happened. So that is what repentance is. Sinner who are yet to be saved should repent immediately, because without salvation, they have no hope of eternal life. Without salvation, no hope of eternal life. That is why we must repent. That is why we must confess our sin. And what are the evidence of repentance? The evidence of repentance is that it brings hope for the hopeless. You have joy. It brings hope unto you. We can see it then. You see the way your heart is, spiritually you are growing, you want to grow higher, that is bring hope, and it is visible, people can see it in your life, and benefit is open door of blessing from God, and it brings joy and happiness. And we that have said we have known the Lord, we must not allow sin to reign in our life. Let's conclude that part with 1 John chapter 5 verse 8, which says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So, brethren, you know that you are not a sinner, but Bible is giving us warning that we should keep ourselves so that we don't allow Satan to entangle us. So that we don't allow Satan, we don't welcome sin into our life. We should be watchful. And this will take us to point two, restitution, a requirement for obedient believer. Restitution is very important. We must take this as part of repentance. No, when you repent from your sin, and you have to go back. All the people you have defrauded in the past, you have to go back to them and apologize. What you have taken, you know, unlawfully, you have to return back to the rightful owner. If you have taken something unlawfully, you return. If you have cheated somebody, you have to go to the person, I'm sorry, I've cheated you. I've done this thing. That is what we call restitution. If you have said that you will not forgive somebody because he has offended you, you go back to that person, my brother, my sister, I forgive you. All the things that you have done wrong, you go back to that individual. That shows a sign of perfect obedience. That is restitution. That is what God demands. But we see a simple example in the scripture before we go further. Genesis chapter 20. Let us see an example in Genesis chapter 20. Book of Genesis. Chapter 20, I read 1 to 8. Genesis 20, 1 to 8. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. For, but Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? 5. Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself, said he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hand have I done this. 6. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffer I thee not to touch her. 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things in their hear, and the men were so afraid. You see here, Abimelech, the king of Gerar, took Sarah, the wife of Abraham, even though they told him, Abraham told him that she is my sister, and Sarah also confirmed that he is my brother, instead of saying, this is my wife or my husband. And the king took Sarah for himself as wife. But God told him that, no, you cannot do that. So that this woman is the man's wife. And Abimelech did this with innocence and integrity of his heart. You see, now he did not know. He did it without any information. I mean, it's not that he did it to punish or to defraud Abraham. He took Sarah from him, but God still tell him that no, restore the woman to the man, for she is a wife. You see, sometimes we might do something out of innocent heart that we did not know we just did, but when your eyes open and you know the true state of things, what do you do as believer? You return. That is what is telling us. That is restitution. Whatever you have taken wrongfully, so you return. And what is restitution? In simple term, in the layman term, is right the wrong. Just as a simple plain term. right wrong. All the wrong you have done, before you get born again, you go and correct it. Go and write it. Tell them, if you have told lie before to get a paper or to get something, to no benefit from somebody, now that you are realized that, say, I'm sorry, in the past, I told you lie. It wasn't like that. This is what I've done wrong. Forgive me. That is restitution. And God Almighty will back you up. And God will follow you. And things will go on smoothly. That is restitution. And God requires this. That when you go into restitution, that's a sign of obedience. We have testimony of people that have received this message. When I was in Lulu, there was a brother that came to Lulu then. You know, he told lie. He flew from our country to Sweden, and he told lie. He asked no passport, he had not me here and there. And we told him, he heard the message that we preached that Sunday, and he came to my brother, Pastor Stephen, that sat down there, and asked him, what can I do? And we talked, and this brother took he took restitution. He corrected the wrong he has done. That is restitution. That is obedient servant. And we have another sister that did the same thing. And he went to the migration. She told a migration about her situation. And we pray along with her. And she's a free woman today. So that is restitution. We must correct the wrong. Whatever we have done wrong, we must take restitution. That is obedient. That is what God demands from his obedient believer. So, and lastly, we look into redemption, a key to spiritual benefit. From here, what is redemption? God has paid the price for your salvation, for my salvation. As we know already, that sin brings condemnation, sin brings separation, sin brings judgment, and sin also brings a lot of things, spiritual death. And it makes one to lose a lot of benefits. That is the reason why we need redemption. That is the reason why Christ has come, you know, to die on the cross of Calvary to redeem us. Redemption is therefore is necessary. It's a necessary requirement if man will ever have fellowship with God. Redemption has a far-reaching consequence on the beneficiary. And here we see some of the benefits that accrue to anyone that confess Christ as his Lord and Savior. One, he brings remission. And what is remission? It's just forgiveness of sin. That is what redemption. Because Christ died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood. It is through the blood of Christ, of Jesus, that we are redeemed from our sin. So it brings redemption. So that we see in Matthew 26, verse 28. I will briefly see some of the passages before we pray. Matthew, let's read Matthew 26, verse 28. Matthew 26, verse 28. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. See, that is the blood of Jesus. That blood was shed on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross of Calvary for sin he did not commit. He died so that he can take your unrighteousness and give you righteousness, his righteousness. And that is remission. So we get it through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the benefit we get from redemption that Christ has done. Number two, it brings reconciliation. It reconciles us back to our Creator. That redemption reconciles us back to our Creator, that is the Lord Almighty. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. I read 10 and 11. Romans 5. 10 and 11. Romans 5, 10 and 11. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see, it's through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ we receive reconciliation. Through his death on the cross of Calvary, we receive reconciliation. He reconciled us back to God. So that all the benefits that is therein to the Son, we can receive it. Another benefit we get is regeneration. You are renewed. You are regenerated within you. You know, not the old lifestyle, not the old person that we know or we used to call you. You are not a new person. That's redemption brings regeneration. Your life, everything pertaining to you is renewed. You are regenerated. So let us open to Titus to see Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know, he regenerated us. He turned our life around. He made you a new person. Old things have passed away. You are now a new person. That is what redemption does. Then it also brings justification. You are justified. You know, it's like you are taken to law court and you have said, this person has committed this offense. And here and there, somebody say, now say, no, we have reviewed everything and we have not seen any wrong that this person has done. This person is now justified. The case is closed. That everything that is in your life have been taken away. All the guilt of sin have been taken away. You are now a free person. You know, you feel your joy in the heart of that individual. If somebody has been arrested with a big crime on his neck, and the judges pronounce that we found this man no guilty, you know, the person will jump up because of the freedom. What am I saying? That is what redemption does. Justification. Because sin, as we have told you, sin brings separation, it brings death, and it makes God to be angry with you all the time. But now, because of his redemption, all this thing has gone. You are now free. You have hope. You have joy with the Lord. No, you are very happy, you know, to be in the presence of God. Then it also brings translation. What does that mean? When you are yet sinner, you are with kingdom of darkness. But now you are translated into kingdom of light. You can enjoy things of God. Devil has no dominion over you anymore. Devil has no power over you anymore. And lastly, I mean, it is also adoption. Through redemption, we have adoption. You know, it's like we all know IKEA, you know, which is a common, famous business, outlet in Sweden. The owner of IKEA, if you are working for him, and not say, as from today, henceforth, you are not, I've adopted you as my daughter or as my son. What will it be with that individual? You know, if you know what IKEA means in Sweden, you know, the person will be happy because it means that all the properties IKEA has, you know, you will get benefit from it because now you are his son or you are his daughter. So that is the benefit. So what am I saying here? Adoption, through the redemption, God has adopted you. Adopt everyone as his daughter or as his son. As a result, then you have access to him at any time. You have access to him, you know, like IKEA, as I've said, all those people that are working for him, do they have access to the owner, of the CEO of IKEA? No! But when you are his son or daughter, you are sleeping in the same house, you have access to him. You can dialogue with him, you can talk with him all the time. That is adoption. So we see here, through redemption, we are adopted and you have access to talk to God, face to face and communicate with Him. So you don't need anybody to come in between you. You are, because you are connected with Him. That is adoption. And lastly, redemption also brings exaltation. You are exalted to a higher place. Before, you are here because of sin. But now that your sin has been forgiven and Christ has died for you, you are exalted unto a higher place. And God can use you. And the power of God will be with you. Brethren, you see the benefits of repentance, restitution, and redemption. We see what redemption brings unto us. The redeemed position has untold benefits. God is still calling all who are outside His redemptive plan. The door of grace is still open, and all who sincerely come shall enter and find security. And we are here, to receive benefit. We are here to receive divine security. We are here to receive divine prosperity. We are here to receive divine promotion. Is it not? That is the reason why we are here. And that is why everyone has come from a various destination to come here and pray unto the Lord. And, there is one thing that could be an hindrance to those things. That is what we are talking about. That is sin. That will be the hindrance, to receive those benefits you have come from. You have come from. That is why you need to repent if there is any sin in your life. If there is any decision for you to take, to make. That is why you have to do that. Brethren, before we pray, I will read Revelation 3:20. Before we pray, Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. God is knocking at the door of your heart. God is here, my brother and sister. God is knocking at your door right now. Are you ready to open the door of your heart for him to enter? Are you ready to surrender all unto him? Are you ready to give all unto him? All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I free. Please, rise up.
You are talking a new leaf. You don't want to live with Christ.
You know, you want to enjoy the benefit. I've told you all the benefit that accrue for those people that have been redeemed. You know, when you get reconciliation to the Lord, you know, you get adopted by God Almighty. You know, God will exalt you to higher places. You know, you will reign, be among the rulers. That is what redemption does in the life of anyone that confesses the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Brethren, call upon the Lord this morning, tell him, confess your sin, he will forgive you. And if you know that you are there, you are living right, and God has been with you, you have known the Lord, pray that God Almighty, I need more strength. Oh Lord, sanctify me. I need more strength to continue the journey in 2018. And I will grow higher and higher spiritually. You know, in all areas of my life, I will move higher. I will move upward. Pray and tell the Lord, ask the Lord, tell him if you are living a right and following his lifestyle. Tell the Lord that God will sanctify your heart and help you to stand. I make you to stand. Amen. If you are there, you want God Almighty to touch you. And you are there, you are confessing your sin unto the Lord. You have proposed in your heart that as from now, you are going to reign with the Lord. You are going to walk with the Lord. Sin will not have dominion over you. Every eye is closed. Raise up your hand as we pray together. Raise up your hand as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, Almighty Father, we thank you for this wonderful word that's spoken unto us, for opening our eyes to see the requirement for every kingdom, for opening our eyes to see the requirement for salvation, for opening our eyes to see the need that we ought to put in place. Father, your children, they have confessed their sin. Your children, they have come unto you with all their heart. Lord, I pray you forgive them all their sin in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Every sin that they have committed in the past, Lord, I pray you forgive them in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Lord, as they have confessed their sin, Lord, I pray the grace to live and sin no more will grant unto them in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Father, I pray that as we go into the new year 2018, oh Lord, I pray that your grace will be sufficient for them and will uphold them. They will not fall in the name of Jesus. Amen. All the benefits that accrue, for the sake of the Lord will be theirs in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Brethren, we are going to pray generally. Father, your people are here. And we have come here to receive divine promotion. We have come here to receive divine security. We have come here to receive divine protection. We have come here to receive divine upliftment. Lord, I pray, we don't want anything to hinder this benefit in our life. That is why we have yielded to your word this morning. And as people have prayed unto you and surrender their heart unto you, Lord, I pray you will answer their prayer in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every problem in the life of every individual, oh Lord, shall vanish away in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh God in heaven, I pray that your peace that passeth all understanding shall be established in their life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, as we continue in the service, we pray that you continue with us, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.